Welcome to the December meeting of the planning board of Horseshoe Park. We have some ministerial things to address first. The initial one being fire safety. Should the fire alarm sound, if you proceed to any door that has an exit sign illuminated and you exit that door, you will see another exit sign down the hall, and that will take you to the outside and safety. There is a special note to be made in terms of ethics, and pursuant to state law and the town code of ethics, if any person appearing before the board has a family, financial, or relationship with any member of the board, it is incumbent upon that person to make the relationship known for the previously listed reason. Finally, we have two sets of minutes that we have to look at to approve, and after that we'll begin our meeting for the public hearing. The minutes of the 2 months are firstly the minutes of October, and will someone?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from the October meeting.
Okay. Will you waive reading?
Yes.
Okay. There's a motion to, we can combine the two, Mr. Chairman.
You absolutely can.
Okay. There's a motion to waive reading of the October minutes and approve them as distributed. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second to approve the waive reading and approve the minutes. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed by saying nay. There have been all ayes and no nays. October minutes are approved. For the minutes of the November meeting, is there a motion to waive reading?
Motion to waive reading.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion to waive reading?
Second.
Motion and second to waive reading. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. Reading of the minutes is waived. Are there any suggested amendments, changes, revisions, or other adjustments to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the November minutes.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion and second to approve the minutes. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Having heard only and all ayes, the minutes are approved. Our first item of business is a public hearing, and it is for Planning Board File 17-2023. And this is a proposal for 66 Coventry Lane. Typically for a public hearing, our process is the petitioner has a maximum of 10 minutes to present. And then following that, there will be an opportunity for folks to speak either in favor or in opposition. Following that, there'll be a period for the board to ask questions and then to make a decision as to how to proceed. So I'm not sure you'll need the full 10 minutes.
hearings for the project. What we're here for tonight is 65 and 66 Coventry Lane. Back when these houses were built, I don't even know what year, back in the 80s, 70s potentially, there was two houses built on the same lot. So what we're trying to do tonight, the subdivision of that lot into two lots, so each house is on an individual lot. Both lots meet and exceed the minimum lot requirements, the houses exceed the minimum setback requirements. There were some engineering issues that we had to address separating sewer laterals, and we had to provide a turnaround for the snowplows at the end of the street, given that it's a dead end. And we did work through those with the engineering department, and I believe we've addressed everything.
Yes.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of the project? Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the project? For a third and final call, is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone who would like to speak against? Is there anyone who would like to speak against? For a third and final call, is there anyone who would like to speak against the project? Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I so move to close the public hearing.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second that motion.
Motion second to close the public hearing. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. There being only ayes, the public hearing is closed. Gentlemen, do we have any questions from the board?
I have no questions.
Okay. Is there someone who would be interested in making a motion regarding preliminary plan approval with possible additions from the engineering department?
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make that motion. I will look to engineering to help with the final way. Number two, regarding planning board subdivision file 17-2023, I move to grant preliminary plat plan approval to this 5+ acre, 2-lot subdivision zone R1, based on the submitted preliminary plat plan and survey received May 11, 2023, with the following conditions. Number one, all public notices have been filed. Number two, this is an unlisted seeker action based on the submitted short EAF R1, and a negative declaration is hereby made on December 14, 2023. Pre-application findings were made on June 8, 2023. Number four, in accordance with section 144-70E of the town code, the public hearing, recreation, and subdivision developmental fees must be paid prior to the issuance of a building permit. Five, one street tree per the Conservation Board street tree plan shall be provided on each lot per section 120-3F of the town code. Six, town engineering preliminary plan approval has been granted on 11-7-2023, and now if we help you.
The additional should be on your final. If you move forward to the final plan, they'll be more appropriate for the addition of the additional.
So then at this point, I so move as presented.
I'll second that. Those in favor of granting preliminary plan approval, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. There being only ayes heard, preliminary plan approval is granted.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I hereby move regarding Planning Board subdivision file 17-2023. I move to waive the final plan public hearing. Tom, is this what I would do for us?
No, that would be the public.
Yes, I know.
Is there a second to your motion?
Second.
Motion and second. Those in favor of waiving the final plan public hearing, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. With there being only ayes heard, the final plan public hearing is waived. Essentially, so folks understand how this is moving so quickly, it's because basically this is one lot that's being divided in two. So this isn't a complex situation, it's just because of circumstances, two houses are on the same lot. And in order for them to be under separate ownership, it's necessary to split them. So with that being said, this is basically being a paper transaction. Would there be a motion to grant final approval for it?
Mr. Chairman, I am prepared to make a final motion on this project regarding Planning Board Subdivision File 17-2023. I move to grant final plan approval to this 5 ± acre 2-lot subdivision based on the submitted final plan received May 11, 2023 with the following conditions. Number one, this is an unlisted seeker action based on the submitted short EAF, and a negative declaration was made on 12/14/2023. Number two, pre-application findings were made by the Planning Board on June 8, 2023. Number three, preliminary plan approval was just granted on December 14, 2023. Four, in accordance with Section 144-70E of the Town Code, the public hearing, recreation, and subdivision developmental fees must be paid prior to the issuance of the building permit. Five, one street tree per the Conservation Board street tree plan shall be provided on the lot per Section 120-3 up of the Town Code. Six, town engineering plan approval has been granted on 11/7/2023.
Engineer Farmer will recommend number seven. Final plan approval is contingent the developer will the public improvement permit to install as designed by Mayor Wood design the sanitary improvements required.
Engineering's recommendation is added to my motion.
I second that motion.
That's one question. Given that there are two existing houses, yeah. Do they still have to plant the three trees?
Mr. Chair?
The status in terms of trees at this point in time?
Chair?
Yes.
Per our code, if we can't plant a street tree on the lot that has been approved, we still take the money and we plant a tree someplace else. Yeah. But you don't, yeah, with this is a mature lot.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So we'll find a place.
A place for a tree to be.
Okay.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Those in favor of the motions, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay, motion is carried.
Thank you.
For the project.
Thank you.
We have a second item under our public hearing category, and that is setting a public hearing date for a preliminary plat plan approval for Planning Board File 418. Again, this is purely ministerial. It's a question of setting a date. And thank you for sitting here, Mr. Wood, but we don't need information from you at this point.
I was just making sure.
But we appreciate your stepping forward. You know, relative to there's, I think, one item that needs to be addressed, which is relative to a bump out. And I'm wondering, is there a bump need here?
Well, we were just
item being addressed, is there a motion authorizing the chair to set a preliminary plan public hearing?
Regarding planning board subdivision file 14-2018, I move to authorize the chairman to set a preliminary plan public hearing date for Brink One Lot subdivision at 6700 Sherwood Road.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Motion and a second. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. Motion is carried.
We're good.
So the time's passing.
Okay.
We'll work out a date.
Got it.
We now have our regular business, and there's one item there. That item is Armor Heating, and folks are looking to put up a fence so that Buffalo Bills fans do not park on their property. And is there someone here to speak on behalf of that?
Sure.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for seeing me. So, just to give you a little history. So I'm 64, I'm the president of Armor Heating. I've been parked cars there since I was 14. A long time, that's the beginning. But we purchased the house next to Armor, which is 3675 Abbott, and we've owned it for like 18 years, and we never parked cars on that property. So recently, we sold that this summer to a gentleman, and we have pictures and things of the view from the street, but what's happened is our property line of sublots next to Armor Heating, which we'll probably never build on, because obviously our company's big enough and we don't look to expand it, not that someone else wouldn't someday, but currently what happened this past, I don't know if it was the last game, it was 11-20. The 19th was the game, and what the gentleman does is he backs the cars up to the woods. There's a wood that runs in between the house property and Armor Heating's building. And what's happening is he's literally crossing his property line to back him up as far as he can up against the woods. And thus, the cars are pretty much 100% on our property. So my concerns aren't just the ramifications if somebody gets injured and then sues us because they're on our property. But we just recently, kind of final strawed it was the day after on the 20th, there was a fire started from one of the fires that was left behind the day after the parking. And my men were at the dumpster putting things in the dumpster and they saw smoke. So we had to call the fire department. They came in, but the leaves caught on fire from where this car was located, burned the bottom bumper of the car right off of it. So that could have been an explosion situation on top of it. But it's really getting to that point where you could have burnt the whole woods down if we didn't see it. So obviously this is one of the things. Now with us, we have the commercial parking, we have insurance for millions of dollars to protect people. In this circumstance, to have that situation, I'm just looking at how can we rectify and stop these cars from backing on our property, where it's hard to control. I don't want to be in any altercation with the gentleman because he just bought from us. You try to be a good neighbor, but at the same time. So basically, I've gone to the town to ask for a permit to put a chain link fence in, which on the other side of the house, the gentleman that lives next door to the house, he has a chain link fence that runs from the middle of his ranch all the way to the back corner of his property. So I'm just looking to put, based on whatever everybody deems distance off of the road, I'm willing to go even a little deeper to try to keep that fence from, being, I think Tom said 15 feet. Originally you said 15 feet for residential and not in front of a home?
Well, no. The fence cannot be the same height once you go past the base of the house. So you're allowed to have 6 feet of anything in the rear, anything in the front, you have to get.
So we won't have any fence in the front. The house sits like 10 feet off the road, I think, or 19 feet off the road. So I'm just proposing, based on the pictures, of starting a fence, even in a reasonable distance back, could be 30 feet, 40 feet off the road. It's really just to try to curtail the full length of that 200 feet when the cars back up and cross over the property line. So I know this is a one incident, incident where this has happened, but I see more happening in the future. I think that way, when the car's back into the fence and chain link, I looked into the post-style fences, and the guy that the Iroquois fence, I've hired him to do it, but he said those post fence, people sit on them, they snap them right off. They're really not going to, they're going to be damaged very easily, and obviously, when people drink, they start fires behind their cars a lot of times. We do not allow fires to be burned on our property. Obviously, you know why. Protect the cars that are there, and protect the woods behind. I mean, it's out of control if you didn't see it take off, so there's no fires in Armour. Most everybody else lets fires happen, but, you know, that's the kind of how tough we are with our customers. And same with garbage, you know, if you drove by Armour and when all the cars leave, you'll see no garbage, because we pick everything up when they go to the game. So we always try to, if you look at our company and how well we've taken care of it, the dumpster area, everything is pretty clean and neat, and this is all part of it. You know, I'm just trying to control it.
I'd like to intercede here. Yeah. I'm not certain that this issue should be before this board, so I understand the application. He's looking to put up a chain link fence, which is it is prohibited under the code, and he wants a 6-foot high
fence. No, 4.
Okay, 4, but the chain link would require a variance from the zoning board of appeals.
You're right to come to this board to get the fence, but the chain link part was...
Well, why does the neighbor have one?
But it should have been put in the code as a reason.
So you changed the code? What you're saying?
Unfortunately, it was a reason.
So what if I put up a wood snow fence? Temporary wood snow fence?
Yeah, I think we talked about it. You could go to a wood fence, you could go to all different types of fences, but the chain link is in the code right now.
Well, I'm just trying to think, because it's more professional, it's nicer looking, it's going to be straighter. If I put a snow fence up, and they stand out more. I think the chain link fence, obviously, I don't know why they made that a change, but to me, that look, the quality of it, everything about it is going to be more permanent.
I would guess, you know, you have two options at this point. We can't change code.
Okay.
And the zoning board, could grant the variance as possibly could go with chain link. It's not, certainly we understand your need and appropriateness, for a fence.
Yeah.
And if you don't get a variance,
Well, I probably won't file for the variance. I'll probably put the snow fence up, which will, the one you roll out, you stake it, and that's the one we'll go up. It's temporary.
Temporary fence.
We put it up in fill season and take it down. That's correct.
You would not require a permit if you're just putting it up for snow for season.
Yep. Very good.
I think your company has an outstanding reputation, and your presentation here just shows you want to do the right thing.
Thank you.
And for that, I salute you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I agree with the...
Well, we try to do it right.
There's no question about it. And I wasn't even a customer, and I gave you a compliment.
Yeah.
John.
John, our code directs any commercial parcel that wants to put up a fence to come to the planning board. But then the planning board can't make a decision on that. We have to send it to the ZBA. Why would that be in the code anyways? We should take that out of the code and just automatically send them to the ZBA if that's what's going to happen.
Well, for two questions. Should it come out of the code? In my humble opinion, yes. But the threshold question here is the nature of the fence. And as I understand it, sir, you want to put up a chain in the code.
Well, only because of the sturdiness of one fence.
Right, as opposed to a...
Wood fence will kick it over, knock it down. I actually, my dad...
Okay. So the threshold issue has to go with the ZBA.
I just want to give you an example, if you don't let me speak for a second. I just want to say that my father owned a property on California Road and Southwestern Boulevard. And back in at the point of which Tom Ward Park and the Buffalo Bills, I think you were both included, tore out the bridge that used to take people from DeMarco's property over to the top and to the back of the stadium. And at that time, Joe DeMarco got on a bulldozer. He went to the back of the property that Ken Welk and my dad owned. He drove a bulldozer up the hill, cut into the lamp to the pitch of the exposed gas lines, and I had to put field fencing with stakes in the ground to stop people from walking that trail coming onto our property on southwestern California, crossing the car wash, and basically it was a nightmare. And thousands of people coming across while we're trying to park cars and walking in and swearing at you and making all these, you know, because they're all drunk, and it was a serious problem, and they would just kick those fences over like they weren't even existent. Now, that's not easy to do with a chain link. You're not going to do it. You're going to do it with a temporary fence.
And I think no one, code is code.
Right. Well, that's fine. It's Town Orchard Park. I get it.
I'm sure you could make a clear case to the zoning board, and I'm sort of reasonable to consider it.
Which fire company responded?
Wyndham.
Now, would it be reasonable for him to get comments from Wyndham Fire regarding the fire risk of a wood fence, assuming the fire could still be built near the wood fence?
It's reasonable.
Versus chain link and submit that comment is in yet.
He's yes, thinking about how the wood. That's reasonable, but that argument just hasn't weighed here.
I agree.
And I'm not trying to change your codes, guys.
I'm bringing
this up. I want to hear to see if I can get a permit. If I can, I can.
We want to help you. We want to help you get a.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to cause a problem with the town because we've always got along with the town, and I'm not here for that. I'm here just to keep people from the liability of either burning the woods down behind that house or next to me, or somebody getting injured because of the rocks and the hill change and the elevation change of walking up into our parking lot.
So what I'm saying is,
yeah,
our attorney for the planning board agrees with the notion of getting comments from Wyndham Fire to be presented to ZBA.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, because the wood fence obviously is not as fire resistant as chain link, I think it adds to the, you know, the prospects for success when you go before ZBA. And I think it would be much more definitive, you know, thinking on your own behalf and for public safety in that area, that
I pursue it.
Absolutely. Yeah. In my mind, it's the right thing to do.
And we are double zone there. We are commercial residential. So I don't know what that all carries as far as that.
I think, you know, we are all very sympathetic.
Thank you.
I think everybody is trying to support your position and give you a little bit of ammunition.
Okay.
Basically, that's.
So how do I get this meeting?
We enjoyed meeting you in person.
Thank you.
You on the phone.
Thank you.
But not in person.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thanks, Rob.
Mr. Bennett, for the sake of formality, do we need to make a motion that's on the table?
Well, I would suggest that you entertain a motion referring Mr. Kim to the zoning board.
We will do that.
I don't know what.
Oh, okay. John is suggesting that we make a motion to refer, the gentleman to the ZBA.
I second that motion.
Those in favor of making that motion, making the recommendation, those indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by saying nay. There being only the ayes heard, motion is carried. Before we move on to our concept of a few items, I thought I'd cover some quickly. I'm going to ask our guests to bear with us for a few minutes longer. And certainly some of us would love to talk to you and meet with you and explain how things work here.
Mr. Chairman, going ahead, I'd be happy to enforce the 10-minute rule.
You do that very effectively.
Okay.
You are a sergeant at arms for this meeting. Under contact for you, is there someone here representing
thank you, Chairman Favinsky and members of the board. Robert Pedanek of Nels Baumann Clark. Our office is located at 3556 Lakeshore Road in Hamburg. And we're here this evening on behalf of the Webster Automotive Group. And with me is Jim Malka. Jim is the Director of Facility Operations for Webster. They're proposing to put a 3,040 square foot addition, two-story addition, onto their existing executive office building in 3552 Southwestern Boulevard. They've experienced continued growth in Western New York and the region, not only in the dealerships, but they also have a need for expansion in the administrative end of the facility. So their new office will include 10 new offices, a large conference room, storage areas. The existing building is brick, but the new building will have like a sandstone finish and a metallic drive-in type finish. We have submitted fully engineered plans to the engineering department, and Webster has also submitted building plans to the building department for review. The site has parking for 49 cars. There's 25 spaces existing in front of the building. And a lighting plan has been submitted. A landscape plan has been prepared by Robert Holmes, the landscape architect for the project. And a plan was previously approved for this site for a larger parking lot behind the building, but they scaled those plans back and they'll just be doing the addition and the additional
If I can cut to the chase, Mr. Goodman doesn't have to jump in. But essentially, currently, we discovered that somehow an additional parking lot was put in there without going through the approval process. And Tom can give a very quick explanation.
It's shown in direct anchor drawing. Parking lot was installed the last several years without any board or engineering building approval. Your access road goes through this property from Webster Nissan through the corporate property to that parking lot. Moving forward, us and the engineering department will work with you to incorporate increasing the detention requirement to compensate for that parking lot that we're approved or designed. So we'll design the drain and take into consideration the drain.
Okay, does that affect this project?
You have to modify your ponds and stormwater controls to compensate for that other parking lot. And we'll show it on the drawing before.
I think that's something we need to talk more about, because I know that this particular site has no impact on that area. We do have a detention area designed for this specific site. And none of the water from this site is tributary to that other basin. This goes directly out to a ditch.
No, I'm just saying, the parking lot is constructed with no drainage control. We have the opportunity now to oversize the control in this property to make up for the parking lot that was installed with no permits or approval.
I have to say, this is a total surprise to us.
It is new. We just received the drawing within the last day. We'll work with you moving forward.
A little surprise to us.
It was a surprise to us that it was done without a permit.
Yeah, and that, typically Webster is very responsible.
They are.
We're surprised at that. But I think this offers an opportunity to resolve the issue. And I believe engineering is proposing a very expeditious combination solution.
We are concerned from a timing standpoint only because they would like to move ahead with the expansion.
Frankly, the faster you folks can connect with the time.
We will work closely with the engineering department.
Once we receive a full package from plans, and I believe plans can be contacted you for additional information if they get a complete package over to us. I only have a set of plans. I have nothing else.
It need not present a substantial delay.
Okay. Mr. Chair,
can I just add a comment?
Sure.
When you submit a package issued, which is probably about like this, It's nice to have a cover sheet that lists what you have in the packet. Six site plans, three seekers, one landscape plan, something like that. There was none of that on your initial submission. So you have to view this from the fact that we have a small department, a lot of work. I have Rose and I have a part-time person, Anna. And without that information, because that makes yours difficult to process, it takes longer to process. So if you're looking to move something quickly, we need that info up front. Yeah, okay, but this is just a suggestion.
We can take care of it, and we'll work out. The next concept item is the Providence Farm Collective. And we have folks here. If you were here during the work session, you may have a good question already as to what the thoughts are. Basically, everyone here supports the farm and the project and the whole process. They're very happy to see the land go. The agriculture is opposed to tract housing. The question that we have, the questions that we have that need to be resolved is since there is no county water or other water, engineering will outline very clearly. We need us to know, basically the county approved, clean water is going to go in there from the well, and that the wastewater is going to be disposed of in a way where it's not going to leach back into the into the well area, and that given that we do have sometimes 5 to 7 foot snowfalls there, that either you're getting a pre-designed barn, or that there be an engineering plan or something that we can be confident that folks will not come out in the spring and find their barn flat under the way the snow, which has happened.
If I'd like to, Jim Dale would like to say,
sure,
the building would be built correctly. We're not worried about that.
Yes, not for you, Ben.
We're taking care of that.
Okay.
We're designing the building.
Primarily, what we need.
So there is an existing well.
Yes.
That an existing well, you can't create a well. An existing
septic system.
Then you need to pick up the system then. So further away.
Yeah.
We need a more detailed plan. I just got these drawings in the last day. Is that okay?
And again, that being said, we can conclude this at the next meeting.
could, you can make it a contingent of some sort, they've been holding up for months until the process of determining. We're just trying to find it. This board has prerogative to contingencies. Engineering, we have had issues in the past, we do not do conditional approval. They can do conditional getting engineering, and then we can move forward working out. But it's not that big deal, it's not.
I agree, I totally agree.
And to be quite honest with you, if you can work out the details with engineering, I would certainly call on members of the board and hold a special meeting. But I think we have to have some stuff in here. You know, there seem to be a large number of contingencies. You know, there's a lot of limit that number of.
I don't think the contingencies are very significant, but we will address, they may have addressed what we're trying to.
If he may to help, you know, I'll try to call.
We're trying to make the growing season work for them, our time clock is, we're a month behind, and we're really trying to work.
I'm hoping that a couple of weeks. We'll go with the contingency for the county, because we know sometimes stuff gets stuck there for months.
We have.
Mr. Chairman, let me point out, this is for concept review, not for actual building.
So, but again, if that's something that, we have to call.
Let me just address the reason that we're asking for it to be expedited is because there's been communication with Mr. Minor, there's been communication back last summer. And one of the reasons is they've done a capital campaign to be able to build, to bring a barn that's really from last century into a place that can work for this farm right here. And moving forward and getting this approved is impacting our donors. And it's hard for us, even though we started the process back in June, to now come to our donors and say, oh, there's this other hiccup, oh, there's this other hiccup. So we do appreciate that you're willing to call a special meeting for approval. And I understand that, and I understand that maybe that this should have been on approval rather than a concept review. This should have been on approval. So I don't know where that was mixed up. So, and we apologize about that if there's anything on our part. So with that being said, we greatly appreciate that you're willing to consider a special meeting. The well is far enough away from the septic. There was no prior septic because they were using porta potties. You have farmers using porta potties. So, and what you have is that it's far enough away, it's been approved by the county Department of Environment and Planning, which has the authority to do that. So we appreciate that. We want to make sure that you have everything. But there is an urgency on our part. And then just tonight, I was handed a EAF short form. And I know in another matter that you actually approved where it wasn't necessary. Under 6, NYC RR 617-5A, farming is exempt. We don't even have to submit a short form for your approval. You may have accepted that in another one, but we believe that we don't want there to be other stumbling blocks because this impacts how, under Chapter 63 of your code, that you are a right-to-farm town, and we want farmers to be able to farm. Mr. Winters, who owned the property before this, wanted to make sure it stayed as a farm. He found the perfect buyer. We have a farm. We want it to be that. So we appreciate that. We just ask that the urgency that we feel after submitting things back like June, Mike talking with the town in August, and that, and I understand, you're just looking at it now. I understand that. We want to make sure that there's a sense of urgency by the town as well, so that the next growing season is that it's possible for us to utilize.
I guarantee you that we appreciate
1 minute, Mr. Chairman.
That we appreciate this and will move on this as absolutely quickly as possible.
Yeah, just two things. One is, I had given you the short EAF, and I think you heard me say that we sometimes just do this to gather additional information. It's a short form. It takes you more than 20 minutes to fill out. It's not difficult, but if you feel that you don't want to, well, you know, I'll be happy to say we don't need it. But the second thing is, I think you should do a motion, the board, giving the chair the right to call a special meeting at his inclination. And you could tie that to when we get enough stuff from town to say it's a go.
Well recommended. Yeah.
That way you won't hold Paul and up at all if the chair can call a meeting.
Mr. White, you're out of time. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to entertain a resolution.
I would like to entertain a resolution.
A resolution or a motion? I am prepared to make a motion.
A motion that we come to resolution.
To allow the chairman to set a meeting at the date he so determines appropriate once all information is submitted to engineering and planning departments.
I second the motion.
Those in favor, please.
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Thank you, board.
We'll do what we can.
We appreciate it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We have two items. I think we can cover them quickly. One is first on, if there's someone to represent first on, about 20 minutes or so. Essentially, we talked about this amongst ourselves. We spoke the last time you folks were here, and our concern is that different requests seem to keep popping up, and things look like they're going in one direction, and then quickly they go to another. Remy, does someone like these folks know where restrooms are?
Yep.
I didn't know if I was going to be in comments. We need something. And we know that you're going to do a good project, but right now it's like we're playing whack-a-mole.
I think we're kind of trying to respond to the comments from the planning board and to, give you something that...
So if it's okay, because you are correct, Chairman Fabinski, what we've tried to do since this was last presented during your meeting in June and July is take a big step backward and look at the actual build-up of the entire subdivision. It's something that's been asked again and again. We know we've provided you with a lot of information. We know that you're going to have some questions. I just thought it would be extremely helpful if we give you like a quick big picture synopsis of where we're at and why we've done what we've done, because it actually reflects a lot of deliberate decisions that the project team has made over the course of many meetings since that meeting. So if I could do that real quick.
If you could do it quickly, yeah.
I can.
And we'll want to see drawings and everything.
Absolutely. So obviously everyone's very familiar with the Birdsong subdivision. It's been around now for three decades, and it's basically been on hiatus for about the past 10 years. So ending in the summertime, what they were proposing is a CMO designation for part two. That's the actual 2010 plan. Why don't you go to the current plan, Jason? And what resulted from that discussion is there was some controversy. The controversy, I believe, primarily relates to the fact that backs up the existing family homes. So ultimately, what we're proposing now is no longer a CMO. Let's do regular sized lots. That's what was envisioned in part two, and that's what we're showing. And you can see it allows us to provide ample green space between the rear of those existing homes and the homes on our site. So that would be part two. Parts four and five are also parts that have been discussed again and again. Part four would be the final and long-awaited extension of Birdsong Park. That's been requested by the town decades before Mr. Capretto was involved. Keep in mind, obviously, Mr. Capretto is not the original owner. He only purchased the site a couple of years ago. It's important to note that in terms of Birdsong Parkway, and I know no one's going to believe this, the current cost estimate to do Birdsong Parkway, based on the original layout, with a nice median, the green space, is $5 million. Just to put in Birdsong Parkway. We also have to put a private pump station at a cost of at least $500,000. So we have some big costs. The good news is, Mr. Capretto, through his reputation earned over decades, is going to be the builder. He builds high-end homes, he understands the costs, obviously doesn't like them, but he's going to incur them because we want to finally see this go forward. And then finally, what we're proposing in what I denote as Part 5 is instead of CMO in an existing neighborhood, let's move it all the way across the site and put it where there are no neighbors. There are no neighbors there. The reason we're doing that is we believe we've met all the CMO criteria. What we're showing there is 63.7 acres, 86 clustered homes. Now keep in mind, these will still be very nice homes, and the target market for those homes will generally be people that own big homes, maybe in Birdsong subdivision, that want to downsize, don't want responsibility for yard work, don't want responsibility for plowing, want an acre to be able to leave in the winter months. We know there's ample market for that. And because of your CMO requirements, a minimum of 50 acres, there's few of any opportunities in the town of Orchard Park to accommodate that. So we think this is the ideal site for that. A couple of other things we've done, and we're showing it on this current plan, and we actually handed out copies. This is the most recent plan, is highlight the ample green space on this site. So the total site is 472 acres, and out of that, as a result of land donation, increasing green space, reducing the density, we're now 263 acres of green space and parkland. So literally, at the end of the day, under this full build-out scenario, 50% of the green space, 50% of the site will be green space. Obviously, this is a big project. There's a lot of homework to be done. What we're asking you this evening is pretty simple. We're asking you to commence a coordinated environmental review pursuant to SEAKER. We've submitted a completed Part 1, the full environmental assessment form. We've made a very comprehensive application, and we certainly understand and acknowledge that this will be subject to further review. With that being said, because one of the questions that I had the opportunity to speak with Randy about this last week was, well, what are we envisioning in terms of phases? And that was a very good question. So Jason, I want you to give just a little overview of what we're currently envisioning in terms of phasing.
Well, as far as phasing is concerned, we'll deal with it just by parts, the remaining parts that we have to develop. Part two, which is now standard R1 zoning, that would be our first phase to get that constructed.
Which was previously the CMO, as last presented.
Right. So we're not doing the CMO, just standard 51 lots, I believe, now. And then we would move to parts four and five, which have to be done in conjunction, literally, because five comes off of both part four and off the current what will be 3D to be done. So that would be the next phase. And then obviously we still have left part eight, which we had submitted to engineering at one point. We've sort of reconsidered some of that due to some further wetland impacts. So that would be our final phase. But the one thing to note too is that the approval of the CMO that we're requesting for part five, the completion of the Birdsong Parkway would be contingent on that approval. Economically speaking, as you heard the numbers, we need to increase the density in Part 5 further than it was in the original 20-year-old plan.
I'm thinking, you know, in terms of the time frame that Sir Bailey is providing, I think folks have some general effect. And I would just want to see a board member have some specific questions. Alex?
The question, the map has been incredibly helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, part five, how many homes are we talking about?
In part five, we are showing a total of clustered homes at, I believe it's 86.
And what square footage?
Dave, what would you envision in terms of square footage in the CMO?
26 to 4,000, 28, somewhere in that range.
So you're suggesting that people are downsizing to the 26 to 4,000?
Yeah, and what those specific layouts always focus on is single-story living, meaning you can live on the first floor. It'll typically be a study and maybe guest room for.
So the
majority. I would say the average that we're building currently in three, the existing phase is probably in that 35 to 45.
So are these?
So yes, for that.
Are this going to be a mixed single-story, two-story, or all single-story?
I would, so single story or what we call a story and a half, where you have a couple of bedrooms and maybe a living area upstairs and the owner's bedroom and most of the living area on the first floor.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And in terms of price point, we all know what the marketplace is today. I mean, there's no way, Dave can correct me if I'm wrong, these are going to be at $700,000 plus. These are going to be very nice homes built to the fourth level of reputation.
I don't see trails on the map, but with all this green space, I'm sure you've given it some thought. What do you envision for trails?
I haven't envisioned anything in the future phases. We have a lot of existing trails and green space, but as it relates to the topography of the area that we're going to develop, trying to create a trail system in there is really prohibitive.
What about a trail along the parkway? Is that possible?
The parkway, so at this point, really, the parkway, and the reason why the parkway hasn't been built for so long is that it's so expensive that, no, I haven't envisioned creating a trail system in addition to the parkway.
But it's certainly a detail as we move forward that we consider. The other thing I do want to note is one of the things we've considered, and you don't know, but we've actually considered wetland impacts. And under this layout, we're all the way down to less than 1 acre of wetland impact, which is good news.
And the trail would impact the wetland.
Depending where
they are. Substantially.
Thank you for coming
up. I'll throw my fast so you can answer fast. Generally, you would look at developing two, followed by four and five, and then perhaps eight after that.
Correct.
And is there an issue regarding a lift station or a pumping station or sanitary that would have to
be located in part seven?
Do you want to point to where that is?
Which at part seven, we're not developing any lots anymore.
The original but that's where that we're halfway. We're going.
Yes.
Yeah, the original location of the pump station itself is actually here north.
So there was a property allotted outside of the 10K green space for that pump station.
And part seven was also previously lots, those lots are gone.
The lines on this map affect the actual property lines for the entire Birdsong subdivision.
It is. This is the entire Birdsong subdivision.
As one who spent many years down in that area as a youth on motorbikes and walking around enjoying nature, I know that topography fairly well. There's a lot of water down there.
Yes, sir.
A lot of wet stuff. Yeah. I appreciate you folks as kind of succinctly giving us kind of a direction of the flow of the development of this project. Happy to see in the CMO and five, no roundabouts, nothing that we have to worry about with regards to that. So this has been very helpful for this board. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad you're acknowledging that they'll have to consider.
Absolutely.
I think basically, in terms of concept, notion is, if this is the direction you want to go,
yes, sir.
It's not likely to jog off.
Or,
okay. No, this is
then go ahead and move on with it.
What would your estimated time period be to complete this part five?
I mean, I would say in terms of full build out, it's going to be 4 or 5 years, no matter what.
Yes, for the once we get approvals, I should say.
then the build-out would be 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And then you finish up with part two, then that completes everything?
Well, so we would go from where we are now into part two. I think we have 10 homes under construction there currently, which is a lot of activity if you look at the history of Birdsong at one time. So, you know, my goal is to get in there and get this done for everyone, because I don't think the neighbors want this to go on forever either. But part two next, and then into 4 and 5. And again, it's all dependent on when we get approvals, but I'm hoping for a build-out time of about 4 to 5 to 6 years for everything.
Including Birdsong Parkway.
Including the parkway. Yeah, but well, the parkway will be part of part five. So part two, then the parkway, the connection.
If I could just ask one other question.
Sure.
We're building in part two right now, right?
No, right now we're in 3B, one. So there's part 3B1 and part 3B2.
So there's nothing in part two.
No.
Nothing being built in part two.
No.
Nothing in part two at this time.
No.
All the construction access is coming off of Transit Road. Down there, you're not going through any of the residential areas.
Correct.
Right, okay.
No, you can go down Birdsong to get to the end where those homes are being constructed.
So, yes, where we are currently, you go in, you can either take Birdsong Parkway or Withrush.
Right, okay.
And then Blue Heron will connect the two, and that's where we are currently.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Just the last time we had these folks in, I suggested that the board provide some direction to them about what they would accept, not accept. So just from a planning aspect and dealing with the petitioner, is the board making a commitment or making a resolution to pursue part two?
No, I think that when there's a concept review between part two, there were a lot of unanswered questions.
Okay, but are you now as a board encouraging them to move ahead with part two?
I defer to the chairman.
At this point, that's right.
Right, so part two, which is, again, the previous DMO, we've gone from 62 to 51 lots, and again, added that green space in recognition of the fact that that particular part is behind existing single-family homes.
Mr. Marcio, was that your recommendation to the board? Did this board encourage
I think it works for the petitioner, and I think it works for the board. But I think someone ought to say, this is the direction we want you to go in.
So let me suggest that you're asking for a motion to that effect from the board.
Okay.
We usually don't.
To go ahead with part two.
Yeah.
And the other, if I could just intervene, what about the CMO?
Part five.
Which again is being presented for the first time this evening.
Yeah. I think the board needs a little bit of time to think about that, but I think if you get moving on part two, that provides some clarity about what we're doing.
Perhaps maybe I can add some words of encouragement.
Sure.
I mean, we now hear a project that seems to have a linear progression,
right.
And to me at least, and I don't know, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but to me it makes more sense. Part two as a CMO never made sense to me. Part two as single family homes makes sense to me. And this board member would encourage you to move ahead on a plan that includes single-family homes with no cul-de-sacs and all those great things that we've talked about before. So with regards to part two, this board member says, I think you should be going for it. I would like to see more about part five, as Ms. Orfield suggested.
Is it the sense of the board that we want to see part two dealt with? Okay.
I'm in support. I mean, I don't know what else engineering would need to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there is.
They're going forward in part 8 to review that one. Right. They're asking for the blessing to go 4 and 2. The original content going back 3 or 4 years with single family homes. They're going back to square one, single family homes. So it makes sense. Merry Christmas.
But all that engineering can be up to
They have to engineer.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, we're not seeking any kind of approval. All the insurance work to be done. We don't want to spend all that time and money without at least there being a general consensus. This looks like we're going the right direction.
This is just concept review. You're encouraging them to start the process. We still have to go through engineering, building, and coming back here for final.
Right. And the CMO would also need to go to the town board and be subject to a separate hearing.
I believe that most of the folks would like to be asked dealt with. And, you know, given the limitations on action under concept, we're making that a verbal.
And then, Randy, the other question I would have is it appropriate that we can ask to start the coordinated environmental review? Because obviously, we have other agencies that are going to want to chime in here.
For part two?
For the whole thing.
Timing is very critical. So the expense that you know, we're incurring as every part of the phases of this neighborhood that I've already incurred, timing is really critical to bring this project.
You're taking a little bit of a risk doing that early on, but this project's been kicking around a long time.
Right.
I mean, at some point in time, something's got to happen, so that would be one mechanism for helping it to happen.
Yeah, and get the comments now, so at least we know. As part of also engineering review, other agencies have comments. We'd rather start receiving them.
I don't know, see no reason why not.
Start.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm glad you finally settled on something. Well, thank you, because it was through the meetings that we've had and the discussions that we've had that gave us the thought to be able to present to you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more item. John, I would like to spend a little time with our guests. If you can force the 10-minute thing for our last item, I would like to.
I will be pleased.
Okay. And our last item under concept is Maple Grove Apartment. And we're looking at a strict 10-minute time limit.
Absolutely. So good evening once again, Sean Hopkins, also with me. Is Andy Romanowski from Alliance Homes, as well as Chris Wood, project engineer. This is an introductory presentation relative to a proposed multifamily project to be located at 4838 California Road. Now, we do have a handout. Do you want to hand it out?
Please, Darren, already
did. Does everyone have it? We're going to walk through it real quick, and if you have any questions, let me know. So the first slide is just to show you where the project site is. Important to note that obviously it's in close proximity to Andy's very successful project at Orchard Grove, located to the south, and then in immediate proximity of three other existing multifamily projects. It is important to note the site's almost 9 acres in size and is zoned R4. The second slide is just a close-up, and directly next door you can see the wings on the industrial property. And then you can also see that there's a ravine and ditch on the back of the site, as well as the double.
I would just like to raise a question.
Sure.
In our discussion, there was some motion about density.
Right.
And I think there was a question about the code of 78 being applied, but that in home, if you basically do it like that.
The question was raised to me is whether or not a prior version of the present code would apply to a new project. In my opinion, this board of the town would be that it does not, but you have to comply with the president.
Doesn't that relate back to the language about when the parcel was created? I believe it's that attached to 7 of the zoning code. I believe under R4, so we can talk about it further. I believe we're allowed 11 units per acre. What we're proposing is 8.9.
I know what Councilor Bailey is saying, and maybe rest in peace. Leonard Berkowitz offered the same kind of view.
Well, except we're relying on the same provision, the same methodology that we did for Orchard Grove. The exact same thing that was not taken history.
I think that's what we're talking about.
Okay, well, that condition we can follow up on.
Fair enough.
So with that being said, I'm still going to continue. We can actually turn to where you'll see the concept plan, which is actually on the presentation board. So what we're proposing here, very similar to Andy's very successful project right down the street, we're proposing 8 units. There would be 7 two-story multifamily buildings, the clubhouse. You can see the breakdown. We're going to have a mixture of 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, townhouse with attached garages, and then 3-bedroom, 2- and 3-bedroom with attached garages. Andy's going to include the amenities that he typically does and have been very well received throughout numerous communities in Western New York. Clubhouse, fitness room, dog park, an outdoor fire pit, ample green space and landscaping. I think everyone in this room can agree that Orchard Grove has been a tremendous success. And in fact, there's a very lengthy wait list of Town of Orchard Park residents looking to move into that project. And that's really the justification for this project. So I'm going to skip the next couple of slides because they do deal with the zoning analysis. It is important to note that we believe every aspect of this project complies with the code in terms of height, setbacks, number of parking spaces, density. We spent a lot of time evaluating that to try to advance a project that would not require any relief from the Zoning Board of Appeals. Then if you go to the next slide, just a synopsis of Andy's project at Walnut Grove or Orchard Grove, and again, just highlighting the fact that that 150 units has been very successful. There's a wait list. The rents range from $1,595 to $2,895. Hopefully some of you had a chance to be there. And I do want to acknowledge that was a project that, if you recall, went through a very stringent review process. You provided a lot of input in terms of how the buildings look, in terms of the layout. And ultimately, it was a team effort. We're reflecting the effort made by the planning board and the project team that resulted in that success. We look forward to engaging in that same discussion again in connection with this project. And then you can see a couple photographs of the exterior elevations, which you really did spend a lot of time on, and the interiors, and then the outdoor amenities and clubhouse. And then finally, what I want to note, because procedure, I think this is important. This project, as is the case with most projects that come in front of you, does require an environmental review pursuant to the State Environmental Water Review Act. We've submitted on June 15th a very detailed concept plan review application. We will need to supplement that with fully engineered plans, an engineer's report, a SWIP, et cetera, et cetera. What we're asking you to consider is recommending the town board start an environmental review. And although not required by SEAKER, we think it's appropriate again to do a coordinated environmental review so we solicit input from all the agencies up front.
But why would the town board start the review?
Because I believe ultimately the site plan requires town board approval.
Isn't that correct, Chris? You guys provide a recommendation, right? The town board?
This is multifamily. Town board, planning board makes the final decision.
Okay, so if that's the case, then you would be the lead agency.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. So,
To be honest with you, I don't think town board wants to be lead agency on a project like this.
Chris and I weren't sure if they needed to be. So, so we get it. Okay. Yeah. So the planning board would ultimately be the lead agency. And what we're asking you to do is consider starting that environmental review. Again, go out for comments, we'll get those comments. Chris and the project team will take a look at those. We'll be back in front of you, obviously, in the future. But let's start getting the comments. We did submit a traffic impact study. It's important to note that it showed no degradation in the level of service at the intersections in the study area. We've submitted a letter from Scott Livingston of Earth Dimensions confirming there are no wetlands subject to the jurisdiction of either the Army Corps of Engineers or the DEC on this site. This is located, not surprisingly, in Orchard Park, in an archaeologically sensitive area. We're in consultation with SHPO. We've submitted a report, and ultimately we'll need to get a response from SHPO. So we've been doing our homework, and we think the next step is to start the review process pursuant to SEAKER, recognizing that there'll be further discussions as we go forward. In a nutshell, that's our presentation. I don't know if you want to add anything, Andy. I also want to note, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to visit Orchard Grove, please feel free to do so. Andy would welcome the opportunity to give you a tour of that project that you played an important role on.
Just a couple of quick things.
Sure.
I know from having walked and been fairly involved in the Shepherd Farm project, that back panhandle that goes to the west of your property, they did find significant archaeological stuff there, number one, so just making you aware.
Thank you.
Number two, the townhome portion of this project, would that ultimately be spun off as an independent townhome association?
No, those would also be, just like they are in Orchard Grove, they'd be townhouses for lease.
So it's townhomes style that you're planning about?
Thank you for my work, yes, that's.
Okay, not an independent association?
Yes.
Okay, those are my two questions.
Okay, I just had one thing, you know, given California Road, one of the issues would be street debris. And we would want that looked at in terms of the moving forward with seeker. I think, you know, we'll consult with the planning coordinator.
Yeah, that's, streetscaping's important. And more important is land gets used up, so yeah, it's something we should look at.
Should we look at streetscape, but could we start the seeker review then? I mean, I think we've given you everything you need to at least start it.
I have to go through and put this thing back together, having, for previous reasons, taken it apart, but yeah.
You clarify that?
I can start putting that stuff together.
Okay, perfect.
There are two residential neighbors within the corner of the project there, so we may want to be able to pay attention to them as well, and their concerns that they might have.
Andy has a pretty good track record of being with neighbors and will undertake that process. Thank you. I hope everyone has a happy holidays.
Thank you. At this point, there's folks here, students who.
We know, yes.
And we have some guests, I just wanted to spend a few minutes with them. Julia, can you join me? Why don't folks work on the street?
Students, why, you guys can come up here to the table, any of the board members, we have to sign for you. Sorry we didn't get to keep you from signing your card, but just.
Yeah.
I don't sign stuff, I'm sorry. I'm using green. Thank you.
Oh, it was nice seeing you, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you.
Was it informative?
I thank you for your information you spoke.
Oh, good, I'm glad it worked, I don't sign stuff, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So